1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, we got Jay Binkley filling in for Cody B. Tap, stung by a bee, actually a hornet. We found out his mouth is all swollen. He'll be back tomorrow. Yes, you heard that right. He was in his backyard. That's exactly what happened. Hopefully back tomorrow when we are in St. Joe. Drew Nixon's back from his vacation at the Outer Banks. We've learned a lot more about Drew Nixon.
His mother's mad at him.
Over the last hour and a half in particular. A lot there. I mean, there's this. Whew.
He gets massages.
Been a fun show.
Been a,
I've enjoyed today's show. It's been fun. Appreciate you guys listening. Entertaining us as well. Hope we're entertaining you. You guys are entertaining us on the text line. Well, some of these texts are.
Drew gets a lot of credit.
The texts are incredible.
Drew gets a lot of credit for the.
Absolutely. A lot of content provided by him today. Thank you. 913-586-7965. The Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Here in about 20 minutes, we will get to a post-game show moment from Vern on Friday night. That is all time. I promise you it's worth the listen as the Royals took care of business in Toronto and got a series win. Let's briefly talk some Chiefs football. And you were excited so much so that you had this printed off in front of me on my desk this morning. I appreciate you. You gave me a copy.
In color.
You know, they have a digital copy of these now, Big. There's these things, these PDFs you can use, you know.
I printed from the digital copy.
Did
but
you?
I printed it in color.
You did. Thank you. It's the unofficial PR staff first depth chart, basically, from the Chiefs. But it's fun. Bink was looking at it for 3 hours last night.
That's what stood He's
out,
like four.
If anything, what stood out from it for you?
Nothing to be honest with you. I just like looking at it.
You just like the fact that it exists.
Here's the thing, Golden. It's like, we know it's ridiculous. Yes. We know that looking at list of top five players are ridiculous, but we do it anyway. We know looking at the coaches poll just came out today. We know it's ridiculous. Or the AP poll, which, you know, I will participate in that, but it's ridiculous. It's why the Big 12 doesn't do a preseason media poll anymore. Because you know why? They had Arizona State last year, so they said, not doing it anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it doesn't do it anymore. But no, I didn't learn a lot from the depth chart. Of course, the best way to find out anything is basically who's with the ones and who's in the laundry list of players hurt. And then all of a sudden you understand, like, Jalen Royals, it's getting a lot of run. He's got a lot of run with the ones. There's a couple articles about that. Jalen Royals getting run with the ones. That's great. It's good news. But here's the thing. He's going to, because they get acclimated with the system, and also with other guys out, a Hollywood Brown out, you're going to get him more action. So you have to kind of look and piece things together of why they're doing it. But nothing really stood out to me until you get to week one. Maybe the Hicks behind Brian Cook at safety, maybe something like that. But again, minuscule because it's a rotation anyway.
Yeah, rotation.
And starter didn't matter.
This is PR driven at this point in time. Look, I think some of this stuff is just set in stone to me. Like, I know people want to create this battle at right tackle and act like because Jalen Moore is getting some reps that Jawan Taylor's battling with Moore. I just don't see it that way. We've been up at camp. I also have seen Jalen Moore getting reps at right tackle. I've also seen him get reps at left guard. The only thing that we haven't seen him do is really left tackle.
Oh, and by the way, Wanya Morris is the backup left tackle, yeah, which we know that's not true.
Right. But also at the same time, Jalen Moore really has only been getting reps at right tackle. I think we know the left tackle, and I think we know the right tackle. Jawan Taylor is off the pup list. He talked about his knee issues last year. We didn't know at the time, but he was getting his knee drained every week to be able to play, which obviously is something you just don't know in the moment. And he also had some stem cell therapy in the offseason. I think there's a chance he goes out there and essentially a contract year and has a very nice season. I don't believe him and Moore are really competing for the number one right tackle spot. It's good that Moore is getting reps and show his versatility and all that, but camp battle? Like, I don't really, you know, unless we're going further down the depth chart at other positions, there's not a camp battle on the O-line other than maybe guard, if you think Kingsley and Caliendo are battling that out. That one I'll listen to. I don't really, you know, that one... I don't think anybody has a preference necessarily on who starts, you know, based on where you drafted the guys, you would like Kingsley to win the job. But I don't care about that as much. Right tackle, though, will be Jawan Taylor. And I still think he's the best right tackle on the team.
Yeah, and guys like Christian Fulton are not on here at all because he's on the pup list. So he's not on here. And clearly he's going to be integrated into this really quickly when he comes back. But the Chiefs knew that going in that it was going to take a while for Fulton to be there. Outside of right tackle now, left tackle is kind of settled at this point. Wide receiver rotation? Like, that's good news for the Chiefs that all of a sudden you're starting to look at rotation now in backups because, to be honest with you, everything, in my opinion, everything is set for week one. once week one starts in the NFL. And it's going to be a rotation, we know, on defense. But the good news is the only thing I really argue about is receivers and how they're going to use the rotation. Is Juju going to get time over Jalen Royals? That kind of stuff. Stuff that doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things, but you will notice it when it does happen. But the actual starters, I do believe, are set.
So you bring up the rotation of wide receiver. How much does what we're seeing with Hollywood Brown's injury factor into that at all for you? Because Rashee Rice is likely to be out week one due to a suspension. Hollywood Brown currently hasn't practiced the last four because of an ankle injury. We don't know any more than the fact that it's an ankle injury. And based off of availability last year and the preseason injury, once we knew Rice was going to be suspended or likely is, to me, he doesn't need to play in the preseason. Now that he's dealing with an ankle injury, even more reason I don't need Hollywood Brown playing in a preseason game. And I'm not to the point where I am worried that he's not available week one. I think some people are already acting like, oh, well, here we go again. I guess I get it, but it's August 4th. They don't play for a month in a game that matters. If he's not available on August 30th or September 1st or something, all right, then we can have a conversation like, oh boy, this was clearly more serious than what they let on. Or we get an update in a week, we find out he has to have surgery. Okay, well, that's a different conversation. Right now, they're going to be very cautious with this ankle injury, whatever exactly it is.
And the good news is he knows the system. Even though he's hurt last year, he was still around every day. He was still there at the practices, not practicing, but he was still there, understands it, has the timing down, understands the formation, understands the snap count, understands everything that this team's going to be going through. But again, don't play in preseason because they're going to need him. When Rice is suspended or not or whatever, I think he is. I mean, I think we all clearly know he will be. You're going to need Hollywood Brown. He's going to be a needed guy. But this is why you see Jalen Royals start to get a lot of reps, and they know what Juju is. That's the only reason they brought him back. He knows the system. He's only 28 years old. Believe it or not, he was in the same draft as Mahomes. That's crazy to think about that.
Yeah, he came in the league young.
Juju was in that same draft, but they know what's going on. So when you see guys getting reps, it's for necessity so that way when they're in there, it's no shock to them. They're used to doing it.
I think Juju Smith-Schuster, especially early in the season, is going to get more run than Jalen Royals. I know people are excited about the rookie, but I just think the way the wide receiver room is set up, you know, week one, if Rice is out, it's going to be Brown and Worthy, and it's going to be Juju, and then there will be some splitting of reps with Jalen Royals. Tyquan Thornton's going to work himself in a little bit, too, because of the deep threat ability that he has, you know, within reason. Again, work himself in doesn't mean he's going to get nine catches ever, okay? Like, this is where we get into the Camp Darling stuff we joke about, you know, but I actually think, as we saw for 1 week last year, Juju Smith-Schuster, in a pinch, can he step up for a game or two games all year? Yeah, I think he's shown throughout his career he can do that.
And then one thing, too, is the running backs were no shock at all. I mean, that was one of the systems that you knew it was going to happen. You know, Isaiah Pacheco is the guy they're going to count on. Hopefully getting a healthy Isaiah Pacheco, because when he did come back from the injury last year, wasn't the same. It's the real reason why Kareem Hunt was still utilized at the end of halves, at the end of games and stuff, because they trusted Kareem Hunt. But a healthy Pacheco, I know people were really excited seeing him catch a football on a wheel route and get a touchdown, which he should. Let's not forget, he's a 4.37 guy. Like, Pacheco does have the wheels, and he has been getting better and better and better with receptions out of the backfield.
We had Pacheco on from camp, I guess it was an early last week, and he once again, for another offseason, talked about working with a wide receiver coach in the offseason.
He's gotten better at it.
Yeah, and so that's something that he continues to work on. I'm still interested in the, all right, if Breshad Smith shows enough, does that mean you don't need Elijah Mitchell? And so can Breshad Smith show enough in preseason and get the protections down enough? Because if he is, then to me, Elijah Mitchell and Smith, I don't need, but like they do two similar things. So if Smith progresses enough, then do I need a roster spot for Elijah Mitchell? If he doesn't, then I want Elijah Mitchell as my third down back this year.
I think you make the case, too, with Carson Steele. You need a fullback.
Yeah, they list him at fullback. I think he's a practice squad.
I agree. But do you elevate him on certain situations if you need a fullback? Or will the Chiefs keep four tight ends and use one of the tight ends as an H-back in the backfield? Yeah. Because the math starts to come down. Like, how many running backs are you keeping? Because if they keep four, and if you do keep seven receivers, that means you're just down to three tight ends? Or do you decide to go four tight ends, keep four running backs, and maybe six receivers? That's where you have to figure out the math. Because I don't think they're going to keep four running backs, and I think the fullback position might be the one on the way out.
Right. So, yes, we're in lockstep there. I think tight end wise, we know Kelce, we know Noah Gray. I think Robert Tonyan right now is set up to make this team. That's three tight ends. So then you're down
to... You have him over Wiley.
I do. Yeah. Not just because of this depth chart thing. It doesn't matter. I just think... I think Wiley, they could still do a practice squad type of situation. Or if things really slow down, they could still argue and put him on the pup list, even though he's been healthy during camp.
I think they really, really like Brenning, Wiley.
I think we all know the noise last year. He just got hurt. Brenning Stuhl, he just hasn't practiced in a week.
Missed seven in
he's
a row.
A practice squad guy, if anything.
Yeah, it's tough for him being undrafted and you've missed seven straight practices. I mean, you got to be out there at some point. Did I think he stood a chance to make this team? I still think practice squad probably would have been the option for him, to be honest with you, even fully healthy.
And then Sky Moore's back at practice. Look, I think we all know where that's trending at this point in time. Can he showcase himself for another team by the time camp is over? Does he get an opportunity in another city? I mean, I think that's where that's clearly trending, especially with Tyquan Thornton, especially with even Brownlee, if you want to argue for him for a practice squad spot or something. Brownlee seems like, you know, especially after yesterday, although I told you, you were mentioned a few things from practice, and I was like, man, I just don't count Sunday's practice. They weren't in pads. It was
their
10-10-10 practice. They're in shorts. It's light. It's basically an enhanced walkthrough. I mean,
he and Thornton have something going for them. They're 6'2".
Yeah.
So that does bode well for him. It's just a different sized receiver.
Yeah. Someone says, everyone's bearing the lead that the Chiefs have a player with the last name Royals. Nobody's bearing that lead. That was discussed on draft night. I'm not trying to burst your bubble there, but everybody noticed that one.
People
on draft
chant, let's go
night.
Royals when he walks down there.
Yes. Yes.
Let's go Royals.
Yes.
It's been discussed.
It has. It is fun, but it has been discussed, I must say. It definitely has. All right, let's talk a little Royals baseball, shall we? Before we get into Vern's postgame from Friday night. Why are you laughing?
Because it was a good postgame.
It was a great postgame.
Vern is very excited. The fans are very excited. It's a good win over the Blue Jays.
Vern's on deck show tonight, by the way, 5 o'clock as the Royals begin a series in Boston, take on the Red Sox. This team has now won 4 consecutive series. They are back to .500. They're 9-6 since the All-Star break, just 3.5 games back in the wild card race, and they're averaging over 5.5 runs per game since the break. That's the biggest difference why this team is playing better baseball. And they're doing it while navigating, you know, getting tricky, right? Bubich injuries, and now Steven Cruz is injured. Daniel Lynch comes back. Tonight we'll see one of the guys they traded for, Bailey Falter, for the first time, and then we'll see another name during this series as well to see if they found anything pitching-wise off of a couple of these moves, not just for this year, but in 2026 as well. They have put themselves in a position where they're going to be in the mix for the final 50 games. That to me is what they've done in this range of 300 to 3 above 500. The Blue Jays series was one of the more impressive series wins of the season, because a lot of times they would have a nice weekend series and you're like, wow, that was against the, you know, Twins, or that was against the A's, so it doesn't count. It's like the text we would get all the time. This is the Blue Jays team that's been one of the best teams in baseball. They're first place in the AL East. And now you get a Red Sox team, as you point out, playing really well. But this is a series that you have pressure, no doubt. But because you won against Toronto, you don't feel like it's, oh my gosh, if you lose this series, then what now? It's all about this road trip, setting it up. Can you go 5-4 now that you won against the Toronto Blue Jays to where you come home and you have the Nationals and the White Sox? And that could be the homestand that all of a sudden this team is a game out of a playoff spot.
And I think the Royals took a look at what they are, who they have. They did bring in those three pitchers. And the one thing is, you're saying, why? Well, they had to. They had to bring in Lorenzen-level pitchers, let me put it this way. Right now, the Royals sit number two in all of baseball with ERA. From starters all the way down to relievers, number two. That's an elite level. Only behind Texas, which, by the way, Texas will be a team that they chase here for a wild card position. But Texas number one, the Royals number two. And they've brought in pitchers to kind of keep that going, because they have been. Mm-hmm. Even with Cole Reagans being hurt, who finished fourth in the Cy Young last year, they've been still be second. And if you would have told me Cole Reagans had missed the time he has, but yet they're still second in the ERA, and that Bubich has been shut down for the year and they're still second, I'd go, you're crazy. But the fact is, the Royals saw this and said, you know what? This ERA is really good. I don't know when we're going to have an ERA this good in baseball again. We'll see what we can do to make a difference. But they're playing different. And Sal Perez is one of the hottest players in Major League Baseball. He's got, what, second most home runs in the last 2 months, or no, month and a half in Major League Baseball. He's got 11 in his last 22 games. He's playing on fire. Bobby Witt, we know what he's capable of doing, and Vinny's been Vinny, as consistent as can be. And all of a sudden, Isbell's starting to give you those timely hits. But yesterday was one of those games you're looking at it going, if this was in May or in June, the Royals get blanked. I mean, that was a perfect game going for a while. And then a one-hitter, and then all of a sudden, but the Royals kept fighting back. Usually they wouldn't. They wouldn't come back and win that style
game. That's where they get the most credit, I think.
And they won it in impressive fashion, too, and just winning. It was winning an impressive, making a statement win by being Toronto like that. And I look at it thinking, all right, Cleveland's right ahead of them. Just a half game ahead in the wild card standings. But they lose the starter, and they lose Emmanuel Clase. They lose their all-star closer. So that's pretty big. Can they withstand this? I don't think so. Those are two big hits, especially Clase. That's the biggest hit for them going forward. Then all of a sudden you're looking at Texas and Seattle fighting for that third wild card. Then you're thinking, all right, Royals have Texas for four coming up at the K, and they've got Seattle for three coming up at the K later. It's still got Cleveland, but that'll be in Cleveland. But all these teams ahead of you that you're shooting for, you got a chance at them, man. You got a chance to take them out, and that's the best thing you can say for the Royals.
They've given themselves a shot. They've worked their way back to 500. I don't know if that's a spot many people listening thought they would get to. 500 again.
It's like the Marlins, the National League. No one believes they're 500. Yeah.
And I'm not sitting here telling you now I 100% think, oh, they're making the playoffs for sure now. That's not what I'm saying. But I think if we're all being honest, the fact that they're 500 with 50 to go, you have to say they got a shot. And we looked at the implied odds based off of FanDuel plus 450 or so. Basically, they're saying there's an 18.5 or so percentage chance of them making the postseason, getting a wild card spot. The tricky thing is Seattle, as you mentioned. We all know last week they were very active at the trade deadline. And so they got a lot better. I think the Royals made some moves that they got better as well, but the Mariners obviously
you
got
the bigger, Cowrelli, you know, the bigger assets. Josh Naylor and Suarez.
Mariners are really, really going for it. I think that the Royals approached it very smartly, incrementally better, while not harming the future, also getting some pieces that can help them in the future. But this team, nobody question, is this team fighting and battling? 100%. They are absolutely still going out there and believing that they got a shot here. And look, I think they do have a shot. 18% is better than the 11% it was a week or so ago. Can they continue the momentum, though, for what we saw in Toronto against Boston? Because if they do, by the time they come back home, I think it's early next week, because they're on the road this weekend, too. But
The 11th.
The Nationals and the White Sox.
And the Rangers. The 10-game homestand. Can the Rangers the last four in that series.
Can this team be two games or so above 500 by the time they come back home, or a game above 500 by the time they come back home, and sitting two back, a game and a half back? We'll have some big crowds over at Kauffman and some fun atmospheres if that actually happens. So that's the hope. It's exciting to see. Here we are in August again for two straight years, and they're in it. They got some work to do, to say the least.
They
and
made it their preseason game one. They're still
Saturday,
relevant.
That's Saturday, yeah.
Still relevant.
Vern was obviously fired up on Friday night after the Royals took game one of that series against Toronto. You were listening to postgame a little bit on Friday. You played some audio for me this morning.
Yeah.
And I love Vern, and I can't wait to talk to him on Wednesday.
I didn't think about it. It was just why I wanted to hear it. I wanted to hear the fans' reaction after the big Blue Jays win on Friday night.
There was a moment I couldn't stop laughing.
He was very excited.
I couldn't stop laughing.
Vern never makes mistakes either.
Never. He doesn't. He's a pro's pro. And this was one of those where we all have it where you'll say something and you don't even know what was 100% said, I guess.
Or if it was the dumb button.
Or Cody called in and dropped an F-bomb. This was Vern after a caller was praising the Royals broadcast team. And for context, one of the broadcasters, Steve Stewart, was not in Toronto because his son was getting married this week.
Make a call up.
Mm-hmm. So I want to give kudos. And please let them know how much I appreciate their calling the games.
Will do. Penny, thank you very much for the phone call. Jake Eisenberg on the call tonight, along with Sean Mernon, the voice of the AA Northwest Arkansas Naturals. He's filling in for Steve Stewart, who is attending his son's funeral. So congratulations to Stu and family. Congratulations to Sean Mernon for once again finding himself in the big league booth.
He's going straight Jake on,
Eisenberg's
man.
Eisenberg's as good as you're going to find. Baseball and...
Steve and family. Congrats,
then
man.
JT, who was producing that show, I think filled in Vern.
Well, first of all, I didn't know. I had to go back on the app and listen again because I'm no way in hell he said that.
No question. That's all I got to say, Vern.
Well, Calvin, I appreciate the phone call. Oh, did I say that? Excuse me. I meant wedding. Oh, my God. Thank you very much, JT. I said Stu's attending his son's funeral. Oh, my God. I apologize. I'm sorry. I don't know why that happened. No, it's a wedding. That's why I said congratulations afterward. JT, thanks for listening back there at the studio. Well, I feel terrible.
Oh, man.
And I'll think about this for the rest of the night. No, Stu is away attending his son's wedding. Good Lord, Vernier. I apologize for that. Well, JT Noah, you might be the Guaranteed Foods player of the game for that catch.
So good.
So good. It's like, why is he congratulating him on that?
Oh,
shout out
man.
To JT for catching that.
Yeah, I mean, it's Vern was able to so recover. Good.
Sean Mernon, the voice of the AA Northwest Arkansas Naturals. He's filling in for Steve Stewart, who is attending his son's funeral. So congratulations to Stu and family.
Jeez.
Oh, man. Congratulations, man.
Vern is not going to like us for bringing that up on Wednesday. Well, he's not going to like it.
Oh, Vern's here was the worst.
Vern's a pro. He owns it. Oh, he is. It's so good.
But Vern had to know. But anytime Vern's done something embarrassing, which has been a few times.
We've all had moments.
But I've happened to be
that's
there.
Why we can play it.
But I've happened to be there, right, when it happened, which is the worst.
Man, oh, man.
It's the worst.
We've all had stuff happen.
And he just kept rolling, too. He didn't realize he just kept rolling like a pro, man.
Well, because you're so locked in, you don't even realize you said it.
Congratulations, Steve and family.
Oh, man. I love it.
In his defense, weddings are like funerals.
You keep saying that.
Is that what you told Rob after he got married?
In Vern's defense, probably. In Vern's defense. I've certainly told you, Drew.
I know that. You told me. I'm just seeing if you told other people.
Well, of course I know
how you feel about.
Of course I do. When Alex gets married, I'll say the same thing.
Bink, such a hater. People that are happy.
If he gets married.
You know?
Dang.
Wiz Fangraphs had that at about 10%.
Jeez.
Hey.
Wiz Fangraphs, which had about 10% chance.
Yeah.
I saw somebody at the bar the other night that almost chose salt. Yeah, showed Vern something.
Wait, what?
Vern.
Say that
in Vern's little booth, right? He was
at the K.
Yeah, some people get happy and they want to flash him or whatever.
Oh, he got flashed?
No, he didn't, but he almost did.
Oh, okay. How do you know?
Well, I met the person that almost flashed him.
Oh, okay.
Sitting in the bar,
big fan of Vern.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Vern. A lot of Vern fans out there.
Who is?
But Vern's got the little booth now, so people can.
That's right.
Say hi to him in the window or show him boobies or whatever.
That's true. All right, up next, we will get to...
It's not that bad of a deal, Drew. It's a pretty good deal, actually.
Yeah, we'll get to what's trending. We'll talk a bit more about what baseball tried to do this weekend and what exactly happened.
What's trending?
Number one on what's trending, the Royals are in Boston tonight as they begin a series against the Red Sox. Bailey Falter will make his Royals debut, one of the assets acquired in the trade deadline from the Pittsburgh Pirates. He comes in with a 7-5 record, a 3.73 ERA, 6-10 first pitch. The Royals are back to 500, as we said, 56-56. Vern's on deck show is at 5 o'clock.
Now you just stay above 500. If they go out and shove tonight, the Royals, people are going to look at the trade deadline going, oh, man, look what the Royals did. It'll make national news. People talk about it like, man, the Royals really made some good moves. Because I'll be honest with you, a lot of these moves, I've seen a lot of A-minuses, B-pluses for the Royals trade deadline deals. I mean, people really liked it nationally, what the Royals did. So looking forward to that game tonight. Red Sox, again, won 8 of the last 10 games. They're red hot. Only 3 games back from Toronto, which the Royals did help the Red Sox out by beating the Blue Jays 2 out of 3. Chiefs, no practice today. Decided to take a day off because they practiced all weekend, obviously. Last weekend practice yesterday. It's preseason opener. Next Saturday in Arizona. So you get the Royals and you get the Chiefs in one night. That's perfect. Hollywood Brown, though, has missed the last 4 practices. Hopefully he's back. Wouldn't count on it, but hopefully he is back on Tuesday, but we don't know.
Yeah, reminder that the game is this Saturday, Chiefs-Cardinals.
Right here, 96.5.
Hear the game right here on 96.5 The Fan. Obviously, you're home for the Kansas City Chiefs. Elsewhere on What's Trending, James Cook is officially holding in the Bills' talented young running back. Wants a new contract. He's been there at camp, and now he said it's all about business, so he's not practicing anymore. Add him the list of players like Terry McLaurin and Micah Parsons, guys that are wanting a new deal, Trey Hendrickson, wanting new deals before the start of the season.
At least guys are doing hold-ins now instead of hold-outs. It's where they at least show up, and you're not paying that $50,000 a day like Hendrickson was paying. That's why he did it. College football coaches poll is out. The AP one comes out, I think, 6 or 7 days it comes out. But K-State, 20th. Kansas did receive 6 votes, and Missouri received votes as well. They would have been ranked 27th. Again, it doesn't matter. Some team that's usually ranked the top 10 finds its way out of the poll. That's consistently what happens in college football. But K-State, listen, K-State's probably, I'd probably put them 14th, maybe 13th, 14th. I think 20 is a little bit too far back. But I think K-State's going to have a hell of a year, to be honest with you. They should be ranked like they are.
Well, they definitely have the best shot of the locals to get into the college football playoff. And can Avery Johnson continue to elevate his performance? That's something we're going to be keeping an eye on throughout the season. Lastly on What's Trending, the NCAA just voted not to expand March Madness past 68 teams for this upcoming season. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I know it's going to happen at some point in time, but I'm thrilled that for this year, another year, we don't have to see expanded postseason. Don't need it for the tournament. I don't need the 12th best team in the Big Ten getting in because we have 76 or 78 teams. So I'm happy, very happy. This news broke during the break.
All for expansion except for that. Not for that at all, as far as that's concerned.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. This past weekend, I was looking forward to Major League Baseball continuing to showcase itself with a variety of different events they've been doing recently, and that was whether it's the Field of Dreams game or Rickwood Fields. It's been really cool to see baseball utilize their 162 games per team inventory, and so they had Bristol, the speedway for NASCAR, set up for a baseball game, and it was the Reds and the Braves, and it was Saturday afternoon. Unfortunately, weather did not cooperate, so it was a 2+ hour rain delay. For whatever reason, they played one inning, which burnt both starting pitchers, so they didn't have that yesterday.
And keep in mind, one starter was Chase Burns, who did spend 2 years at the University of Tennessee.
Yeah.
First ever game in the state of Tennessee, Major League Baseball.
So I was bummed because of that, even though, you know, I was excited. It sounds like also the concessions were a disaster. You know, they ran out of hot dog buns.
Which is surprising because they have two NASCAR
races. Well, that's what I'm saying. How does that happen?
I don't know.
90,000, 85,000 people.
Everything else was so on point.
It was. They got to tweak a few things. They should continue to try to do events like this. The detail and the uniform and everything was great, but people were complaining about the concessions. And then I guess the seating locations, yes, there was 85,000, but so you see some of these seats. I mean, some of them, the baseball diamond would be in like in the corner of our room and you would be where Drew's at. Like,
they did
you
have some bleachers around the field, but not many.
No, I mean, you really couldn't see in some spots, man.
No, I mean, some of them were. You knew that was going to happen. You knew when you're going to watch a baseball game in a speedway, you're not exactly going to be right up and close. And they played football there before. Tennessee played Virginia Tech once in that infield. I thought it was cool they're going to use that infield. They're giving it to a college to use that infield. But they spent some serious money on this. I'm glad that the whole thing wasn't like a hokey thing, like, hey, we'll just play in an infield. They spent some jack putting this baseball field in Bristol. But not only that, but they utilized that big scoreboard, the big, they call it Colossus or something like that, the big scoreboard.
Yep. That's foul territory.
But the way they did the lineups, it looked like NASCAR drivers doing their lineups. They did the helmets like that. They wore different hats. The numbers on the jerseys, like you said, were NASCAR-ish style, but then having a home run car that went around the
pace car. That was cool. I'll give them credit for the pace car idea.
But they took some of the players, like Brady Singer talked about, you know, he went around with Chase Elliott, I think, was taking him around the track before they did the introductions, kind of like NASCAR does. I think it really was a nice collaboration between both sports, Major League Baseball and NASCAR, but it wasn't a hokey deal at all. I mean, it really, the players, they didn't complain about being there. Even though there was a rain delay and everything, they didn't complain about having to go and leave and playing a baseball game in Tennessee at all, even though through the rain and everything else, because they thought it was awesome. I mean, it was just enjoyable the way they did. I thought it was a first-rate production from Major League Baseball that sometimes doesn't get things right. This was right, and I've loved the Field of Dreams game they've had. Little League World Series games they have. Love when they played on Fort Bragg. Love when they do all these things. But this is something that shouldn't be an anomaly. This should be done all the time.
So I think... Drew, your microphone's on, I think. You're good, man.
I was editing a video for social media. Sorry, I don't know why it's on.
Did you pass gas?
I was weird, man. No, your microphone's on. We're hearing everything over there, man. Did you finally call your mother?
I texted her.
Okay.
Right. I sent her a text message that said she was brought up on the show.
I need to bring something up here.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second.
I'll bring it up, yeah.
To the conversation that we're having, though, Major League Baseball should be doing events like this once a month throughout the baseball season. Whether it's every July, we know they're going to do it at a NASCAR race or track, fine. Whether it's Fort Bragg, a military base or something once a year, whatever it needs to be, continue to come up with new ideas. But also, it's fine if you're going to just have each month and we just start to get used to knowing that, oh yeah, July, are we going to, is your hometown team in that July NASCAR venue?
Or do like, something or whatever. Special on the 4th.
Fine, right? Like, I think that some of the teams like to have those games at their home park, but fair enough. You could still do something at a military base on the 4th of July or something like that.
The Royals play the Cardinals away, man.
They have a lot of inventory to do this. And overall, I thought their planning was good. Just, you can't have the concession mess up the way. Like, that's just embarrassing. Like, I don't know how that happens. But
it's not like you're not used to it.
Right. That was a little bit bizarre. I think the Field of Dreams game is scheduled to be back in another year or two. They're doing a renovation and some stuff there in Dyersville or whatever it's called, Iowa. So yeah, baseball's in a good spot with this. I was just bummed because I was so excited for it. And then the rain delay happens, and then I was not able to watch really much yesterday. I was doing some other stuff. So just my excitement did not meet it. Did the actual expectation
but
did not
meet the
execution.
But it worked in the fact that you were actually looking forward to watching a Reds-Braves game.
And I ended up not watching. But yes.
You wouldn't have watched it. If it was in Cincinnati or Atlanta, you wouldn't have watched that game.
Correct. And that was my point on Friday. And
I was excited to watch the Reds and freaking Braves play.
For sure. And that's why they need to do it once a month. Some specialty game, so that way you have reasons on a random Saturday why somebody might be intrigued by it, a game they otherwise would have no interest in. I'm with you.
I thought it was great. Drew definitely would have liked it.
Excellent. Says, Bank, you can't have the general population near the B2 Bombers. Can't do it at Whiteman. There you go. There you go.
You do air shows there, though.
Have they?
Just hide them.
Oh, okay. Can't be near them.
Well, they have air shows there, so.
Can't be too near them, you know? What was your, you said something.
Oh, you were gone last week. Remember when the whole Scotty Scheffler British Open thing, right? He let one out.
Yeah, he farted on the course.
But
yeah,
you said you were like me. You were like, well, we don't think it was Scotty. We thought
it was
somebody
else. Yeah, he admitted that. That was 3 weeks ago.
Okay,
2 weeks ago.
Drew was here when he admitted it?
Yeah, okay. I think it was on Friday.
That's what you were so excited to talk about. Drew, did you see Scotty Scheffler admitted he farted?
It's when Drew passed gas a minute ago. I thought of this.
I was going to say,
he barely caught it because he was gone the next day. The next business day, he was gone.
Yeah. Drew was still on social media. He was tweeting about NASCAR on his trip.
Yeah, because Bubba Wallace won the Brickyard, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Bubba.
Did you go to that?
I did not, know. I left the Saturday before. I thought about going to the... driving over to the track real quick to see some of it.
You stopped at nine other
football stadiums. Was this before or after you yelled at your mom?
This was before. This was before.
What was the, you were at our banks, but the beach was awesome, but what was the coolest stadium you stopped at on the way?
There's like nine of them.
I think Marshall was really cool. I think I didn't get to go like down on the field or anything because Charlottesville, they blocked off Virginia pretty good. But that stadium is really – the campus is really beautiful, and the stadium is interesting because the architecture of it, it's all brick, very nice, looks – if you were to be on the outside of the building, didn't see any logos, you probably wouldn't necessarily think it's a football stadium. But as soon as you get into the little gaps in the gates and the fences, you'll be able to see.
So what? How many
down there on the field?
So overall, what was the final count of stadiums you trespassed into?
We know Old Dominion because you have pictures.
Kentucky, Marshall. I liked Marshall's stadium. It was really cool. I think Marshall is probably the best. Marshall, University of Virginia, Charlottesville, and then Old Dominion. I stopped by Vinny Pasquantino's.
Oh, and Matt Q.
Alma mater. Yeah,
you put a picture of you in the Monarch.
I did. Not the mascot, but the stone statue on the outside. It was that one was crazy because I was with my brother, and everything looked to be blocked off. And there was a parking garage that had connections into the stadium. It was in a cool spot. We tried the first level to parking garage, the doors were locked. So we walked around the whole stadium, saw if we could walk in. Got to, I was like, you know what? All right, we'll do one more thing. Go back in the parking garage. We'll try levels 3 and 4. And if 4 doesn't work, then we're done. 3 didn't work. 4, door open.
Nice.
Hmm.
Look at you, Drew.
The last possible step. Their stadium is, surprisingly, for the Sun Belt, their stadium is really nice. I wouldn't say that it's nicer than Kentucky's by any stretch of the imagination because the seating and everything like that, but I would say it was on par in terms of facilities and like the amount of suites that they had. It was a pretty nice stadium.
Well, you're going to go down to Springfield and look at the Missouri State here later, too.
I've already been to their stadium, Bink.
Oh, you went?
When we were down there.
Oh, but you're going to a game, though.
Correct. When we were down there for the trip to see Jack, I swung by and walked on campus a little bit. Nice. And got into the stadium.
Nice.
Because there was a gate that was open. And if there's a gate that's open, then you kind of invite yourself in a way. Yeah.
Text line says, Drew is now the show's resident bad boy. Trespassing, neck tattoos, screaming at his mom.
I've been had that neck tattoo, though.
Yeah.
I went in and took
a TV from the house. The door was open, you know.
So I didn't break and enter. I do have a neck tattoo and have had one for some time now, and I did not scream at my mom. So one out of those three, I guess, is correct.
Would you walk into somebody's house if the door was open?
No, because I don't want to go into somebody's. Look, I don't.
Would you walk in somebody's garage because the door was open?
No.
Well, you did that at stadiums.
I didn't do anything to. I just wanted to see what. You know, like, there's nothing in anybody else's house or anybody else's garage that I want to see so much where I'm just going to walk in their garage. You want to go on the field?
Well, they have a nice garage.
I didn't go on the field. I took pictures close. I did ask, in fairness, there were construction workers at Marshall because there was work being done. And I was like, hey, I'm visiting Huntington, never been here before. I don't know if you work for the university, but I wanted to see if I could sneak in there real quick and take a picture. And the guy goes, I don't care. You can go on ahead.
Yeah, the construction workers are like, not my place.
Correct. At Kentucky, there was an event going on, some sort of charity event, and there was a security guard outside of the gate, and I walked up to the security guard. I was like,
did you donate?
I'm visiting. No, I did not. But I asked the security guard at the stadium. I was like, hey, I'm just here visiting Lexington, never been to the stadium. It's blocked off. I'm not going to go on the field or anything. You can watch me the whole time. Do you mind if I go in? I take a couple pictures. And I was like, yeah, sure. So I don't know if that's a Southern hospitality thing.
You and Bink should just go do a stadium tour.
Yeah, I'm. Let's go. Let's go.
I am all about it.
Okay, let's do it.
I debated stopping by Richmond to see Barber's old stomping grounds, but
he was a legendary spider.
I did not stop at the Richmond Spiders facility.
We'll get us some road snacks and some quick trip drinks, energy drinks. We'll grab some chew.
How you doing over there? That bottle is... Yeah, you good?
Don't drink.
Hang on a second. So where are we going though, Bink? Like, are we going to Pitt State? Are we going to Northwest Missouri State?
Stop by the jungle. Probably
stop by the jungle.
No, I recommend the SEC ones because that's a lot of fun. You go to Oxford, Mississippi, great place to eat. You go down to Manning Way, down to the stadium. The Grove.
A lot of it. So I don't
Tuscaloosa
know if it's
and Brandon.
Yeah, I don't know if it's an SEC thing. I know that. So in Tuscaloosa,
they're cathedrals, man.
In Tuscaloosa, you have to set up tours. Neyland Stadium, I think you have to set up tours as well, technically.
Not me. I just walked right on.
Florida's football stadium is open to the public. Like the gates are always open. There's people who run up there and do workouts and run stairs. It's great.
Door was open.
I bet you there were probably 100 other people in that stadium with me at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. Like, they're like just running stairs, Bank. Like, are they doing workouts? It's open to the public. Fully.
Did you work out?
Were they taking selfies after they work out too? Or
were they getting cupped?
No, they weren't. I took a selfie. I set my kids. It was just me on this trip. I laid my camera up against the bleacher and I did a little gator chomp. You know, I did a little, yeah.
Nice.
When was this?
May of 2023, before I moved here.
Did you tweet it?
That's a long time ago.
I don't know. I put it on Instagram, though, I think.
Long time ago. A year ago.
Very long time
ago. You find it.
Two years ago.
The rest of it's like all Bengals crap.
Well, no, I've been to a good amount of stadiums, actually. I'm thankful for that. I want to go to... I'd love to go to a Lincoln, Nebraska game.
You've never been to Lawrence?
Never been to Lawrence.
Have you been to Iowa State?
I have not.
You've been to Iowa City?
No. I've been to Columbia. Through Iowa City.
Have you been to Columbia?
I've been through Columbia, but never to stop at the stadium. Because
you're going
to
all these places, no, but none of the local ones.
I know. That's kind of crazy.
Hang on.
That's
kind of crazy.
Hang on, man. I was going to Old Dominion.
He's out here sending out tweets about Burrowhead in 2025.
Let me defend myself. I've been to Manhattan to go to a game. I'm planning on going to Lawrence for a game, and I'm planning to go to Columbia for a game this year. So why would I stop there when I'm going to go and experience a game
day? Are you
going
to go to watch KU play Missouri at Missouri?
I am not.
That'd be a game to go to.
Robin C.R. I'm going the following week. Hopefully, maybe.
Why can't you go with Robin C.Dot?
I didn't say I.
Do you like
I
them?
Couldn't. Yeah, I like them. They're great. But I want. I also we only get a there's a limited amount of opportunity to go, especially to the KU Missouri game, because obviously that's a high value ticket.
It's I'm called a credential.
I'm going to go to
Drew.
A different game. But I want to go.
You're in the media. You cover sports.
I understand that, but Bink, I want to go and experience it as a fan. Same thing with Arrowhead. If I my first game experience, I want to be at Arrowhead. I want to be able to go and sit in the stadium, not in the box. I want to be in the stadium, feeling the sound, feeling the noise. I want to experience everything about a game day. That is as a natural fan.
You've had offers from the text line. I don't know if you have any anymore after your recent comments and texts and tweets.
But down on your mom.
At one point in time, people offered you a spot on their tailgate. And everything to experience the full Arrowhead experience, I should say. So
I would invite you over for a holiday, but I'm afraid how you talk to my mother.
You're afraid that I'm going to get what would she?
I'm just afraid of that. Obviously, right. With your behavior.
Do we think Cody's back tomorrow? So if you're just joining us at this point in time in the show, we're about to hand things off to the drive. I think C.Dot. Yeah, I saw C.Dot. He's here. He did not get stung by bees. Cody got stung by Yellow Jackets, and he has a swollen lip, and we heard him talk, but he looked miserable in the photo he sent us. So he's back hopefully tomorrow in training camp. Yeah, he's on steroids.
He said the steroids are working though.
Steroids always work.
That's what I mean.
Steroids always work.
Get a good workout anyway.
His lip is so swollen, it's hilarious. Tomorrow he'll give us more details. We had him call into the show if you missed it in the noon hour.
He also
dropped an F-bomb in the middle of a phone call with us on live on the radio. Thank you, Dump Button. He should know better. You know, he should know better.
Don't shoot the messenger.
It's the steroids talking.
Hey, don't shoot the messenger. From the 816, Burrowhead is still sold out, or is sold out.
No, they don't want you. They don't want you there.
They
got a free ticket for you. And how about this? Free ticket and a spot on their party bus.
Oh,
damn,
wonderful.
Drew.
Text that person back.
What a game.
Well, text them back. Don't worry about what game, if it's the Colts game or even if it's the preseason game.
If it's
game.
A party bus, I'd
preseason.
Say
preseason doesn't count.
Yeah, I'd probably say Chiefs.
Preseason doesn't count. Free ticket and a party bus.
Might be a big KU fan. Maybe a Missouri fan. Maybe K-State. You need to start going to some of these local schools, Drew.
I'm planning to go to them this year, Bink. That's why I didn't stop. Otherwise, I would have stopped in Columbia. I thought about it on the way home.
Here.
Cody's going to be wearing a mask while we do our show tomorrow, I have a feeling. He's going to be trying to avoid the wasp.
He's going to be in a hazmat, you know, trying to make sure.
Yeah.
Why didn't he call Ned or text Ned? Ned's
well, they weren't bees. They weren't bees. We learned these were not bees that stung him. We ended up finding out they were German Yellow Jackets.
German ones, yeah. How'd they know that, by the way?
Beekeeper or one of these experts. What do they call them? What do they call the pest control? No, but like, I mean, it wasn't a beekeeper per se. What are they? Like
I thought they were just called beekeepers.
But this wasn't, they weren't, this was for hornets.
Aren't they the same thing?
Or for,
Yellow jackets.
Yellow jackets. I don't think they're all the same. Wasps are different than mosquitoes.
Get Cody a Georgia Tech shirt.
Okay.
The Ramblin' Wreck.
Drew probably has one of his 15 colleges.
I thought about getting one though, yes.
Roots for.
The Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech.
But your mom said no.
Someone says that I hear that Cody got swole from steroids. Now the swelling has gone down from the steroids.
Cody's going to come.
He got
stung with a six pack.
Got stung in the mouth. Still don't know how Yellow Jackets got inside his mouth.
We've had a random walk on. Cody Tapp has entered the tryout for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he's just, I don't know, playing linebacker or something like that. All right.
We are back at it tomorrow. Hopefully it's Cody and I, Insane Show, broadcasting live from Chiefs camp. Bink, thanks for filling in, man. Fun show today.
Enjoyed it, man.
Drew, you knew you were going to get crushed today.
Thanks,
after your photos and tweets. Thanks for hanging out, everybody.
Thanks for getting cupped, man.
Talk to you tomorrow.